Welcome, everybody. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if everybody's here. So.
Who's everybody?
I want to go around the room and I want to go around the room and have everybody introduce themselves. I'll start with myself. My name is Marlene O'Neill, and I'm the new president of BRLC. And I need everybody's help because I was sort of drafted in midstream here. So it's an honor to do it. But I've had a lot of support, and so we all have to learn to, you know, we're going to just tread water together. We're not going to sink. We're all going to swim. Okay. Okay, I guess you're on.
Okay, Roger Peterson, Vice President, I'm up here.
Yeah,
he's in the front row.
He's my lifeline. Go ahead.
I'm Paul Brelli, last member of BRELL.
Welcome. Okay, who?
Albert Contreras from Temple City.
From where?
Temple City, California.
Temple City, okay. Next to him?
Mike Keefley is going to be next. Okay. Mike Keefley from Mountain View, California. Welcome. Rob Turner, BRLC Secretary, Glendale Burbank Chapter. Oh yeah, welcome Rob. Okay, are you taking minutes, Rob? Yes, I am. What a guy. Lee Morton, immediately past president, San Diego Chapter.
Okay, welcome, Lee.
Jerry Wilson, San Diego Chamber.
Jerry Wilson? Okay, welcome.
I guess it's my turn. I'm Keith Johnson. I was elected the first board director of this BRLC, and I'm from the Glendale Burbank Area Chapter, and I live at I'm the first vice president of the Glendale Burbank Chapter.
Hey.
Rob's my president.
All right. Okay, welcome. Next.
I'm Nancy Younger, active line in the Valley's chapter, Riverside, and vice president of that chapter. All
right. Yes, and you were the secretary, and you took very good minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
And
I'm Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. I am corresponding secretary of Glendale Burbank chapter, and I think
what
you're
doing takes a lot of courage to just come in and take over
being president. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm Bill Berry.
And Debbie's your better half, right, Bill?
All right.
Bill's is your better half. You don't have my support anymore.
is it exactly half?
I think so.
Who else?
Everybody, who's next?
Steve Port, Fabian Chapter, President, resident of Alameda.
Yeah, he's here to cheer me on.
All right.
But he's a member of BRLC, so.
All right.
Okay, who next? Anybody else?
Larry Freeman, alternate delegate, San Diego Chapter, CCB.
All right.
Okay, welcome.
Anybody else?
Who? Okay.
All right, Winfrey.
Yay.
And she's the editor of the BR, the Braille Writer.
Winfrey from San Francisco chapter, corresponding secretary
for BRLC. All right. Yeah, Lynn, sorry. Okay.
And Jill O'Connell.
Hi, Jill.
Board member.
You snuck up on us.
I did.
Jill, you got a seat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, it's very slow. So are the elevators. anybody else? Okay. Excuse me? No, go ahead. What were you wanting to say?
My name is Tracy Gates. This is my first time, so.
Are you a new member?
Yes. Yeah.
Tracy Yates?
Gays.
Welcome.
All right, welcome aboard.
We need all the members we can get. Okay. Rob, would you like to read the minutes of the last meeting?
Minutes of the October 27th, 2006 BRLC meeting by Nancy Unger, Roger Peterson, acting BRLC president, opened the fall meeting at 9 a.m. at the Four Points LAX Sheraton Hotel in Los Angeles, California. Rex Ransom read the treasurer's report since the treasurer, Al Beagler, could not be present. The balance on April the 4th, 2006, was $2,464.91. Dues received totaled $160, and revenue from the sale of the neck wallets was $285. The addition of $445 brought the total balance to, turn the page, $2,899.91. Expenses since April included $200 for the delegate to the National BRL meeting. That's not what it said, but at the convention of the American Council of the Blind in Jacksonville, Florida. $210 for the production of the Braille writer, $35 for five additional Braille copies of the Braille writer, and $6.61 for mailing of the neck wallets to Winifred Downing to bring to this convention. The balance on October the 11th, 2006, was $2,378.04. Rex read a letter from Al Beagler directed to the officers and board members of BRLC stating that he was resigning as treasurer because he had already served two terms and cannot attend meetings held at the fall conventions of the California Council of the Blind. Dues of $20 per member must be paid by February the 1st, 2007. But a motion was passed that allows those who have paid ahead to vote at this meeting. Winifred Downing talked about the neck wallets and distributed distributed packs of five to persons who agreed to sell them before the convention next spring. Elections were then held, and the following officers were all elected by acclamation. President Marlene O'Neill, Marlene O'Neill Cooney, excuse me. Recording Secretary Rob Turner, Corresponding Secretary Linda Perel, Treasurer Rex Ransom, and Board Members Jill O'Connell, and Keith Johnson. Roger Peterson had been elected vice president at the spring 2006 meeting. A report was made on the newsletter, the Braille Writer, and the editor, Winifred Downing, said she wanted two people to write articles about other members of BRLC, emphasizing when and how they learned Braille and how they have used it in their lives. Boy, I'm doing a heck of a good job up here. Somebody's really taking this to heart.
Turn off the cell phone, please.
Mike Keithley volunteered to be one of the writers. The deadline for the spring issue is February the 1st, 2007. Lee Morton reported that she had spoken at BRL, at the Braille Institute, about our intention of paying some transportation costs for students who wanted to compete in the Braille Challenge. A motion was made to use $200 for that purpose. The business meeting was adjourned at 10 a.m. The program, which began at 10:15, featured Stieglitz. Sorry about that. Stieglitz, right, okay. She's the marketing manager of U Plus. Okay, Technologies, that's Corvallis. Okay, View Plus Technologies, Corvallis, Oregon. She discussed the imprint, in addition to the Tagger line of Braille embossers, which can print ink and Braille at the same time, allowing for Braille and large print on the same document. It costs something less than $6,000. Yes, respectfully submitted, Nancy Unger, Recording Secretary. And that's the end of the minutes, so thank you.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions about the minutes?
We don't need to adopt these.
No.
So the membership will adopt them.
No, they'll adopt them.
Well, I got my pack made.
There's a couple of corrections for tomorrow anyway. Tomorrow also, I've got the treasurer's report. We can read that tomorrow, I think.
Mm-hmm. Rob will be able to read it more fluently tomorrow. Practice.
Yeah, I got to read these things again.
Okay. is when are you here?
Yes, I am.
Okay. The next thing I've got on the agenda is should we wait to the treasury report for tomorrow, or do you want me to read it tonight? Because I've got it here. Okay, because I do have a correction on the minutes for tomorrow.
I think we could hear it tonight because we have to make a decision as a board on something. It's not any information.
Okay, there is an error that I have to make a correction on, though. So I don't know if we should make the correction in the minutes tonight or tomorrow.
Do it tonight. Because I think we always used to have it at both meetings because the board needs to know how the treasury is.
All right, I'll...
No, I wouldn't think... I don't know.
I'm just doing, I'll read it and then we'll decide, I guess.
Yeah.
I'll just read it. Okay.
Why don't we just read it now?
Yeah.
Correct errors.
Correct it. Okay, we'll read it now and correct errors tomorrow. Okay. Treasurer's report. Spring. And this is as of April 10, 2007. BRLC balance on October 11th was $2,378.04. Additions to BRLC treasury. Dues received $740. Deposit of neck wallets, $555. Total additions, $1,295. Expenses. Letter postage, $1.35. BRLC Constitution printing, $17.30. Braille membership, $440. Membership to CCB, $50. Paid Lynn Laird for the newsletter, the Braille Writer, $350. Total expenses, $858.65. Balance on April 1st, 2007, $2,814.65. Respectfully submitted, Rex Ransom. Okay. Lynn, or Wynn, did you want to talk about the selling of the 60 wallets? 60 next wallets that are left.
We have 52 wallets left to sell.
52 wallets? 52. Okay. Left to sell?
Or? Them to Bill, who is one who got this whole thing off the ground that you may remember. She wasn't able to be here at the fall convention. She is here now with the 52 wallets.
Okay.
And I put them again in a little box of five. And tomorrow we will ask people if they want to sell them. I also called all the people who had said at the last convention they would sell wallets, and they are all coming or have said check, and they will get their money tomorrow, and it should total like $295. So we will get that money tomorrow, and then when the 52 wallets are sold, we'll get a little more. Now, this doesn't come out to the right with the 500 figures that Rex gave us. We still aren't at what we should have gotten for as many wallets as we bought. And I don't know quite how to explain all that. 300 we bought, Jill?
301, I think it was.
301?
I believe that's right.
$500 times 300, we should get 1,500. I can only get us up to about maybe 11 or 1,200. I don't know if we classified some wallet sales or something else or just what, but I don't think anyone absconded with them. I think they're just, I think we did the best we could.
Overhead.
Well, we did quite well, though. I mean, you know.
I have a list for Jill. Okay. The people who are supposed to be here or have sent checks.
Okay.
And I have a hot check in hand for that. It's actually fresh off the press.
Uh-huh.
Who said that?
You, John.
Okay.
I really would rather take them all tomorrow because Joanne Biegler will be there, and she's a big help to us, and I'd rather not take the responsibility. So if you'll hold off, Keith, then we'll do it tomorrow.
All right. That's
great.
Okay. So how does the board feel about that? The selling of the wallets?
We love it. Those are the wallets. Those are the wallets. We're for it.
Okay. We don't need to make a motion, do we?
Nope.
I don't think so. Okay. Okay, when you also had an idea about giving more than $200.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I called and talked to the lady who's in charge of that. This is all in the Braille Writer,
right.
Of all of you that read it. And she was very glad that we would become part of the group that gives scholarship amounts for people to travel.
and she said she would put ours in with other people. She said she could tell us around the 1st of June the name of the person or person or persons whose tragedy were contributing. And I asked in the prayer if anybody would like to send some more money to add to the 200, and I also said that I might ask this group if you would like to subscribe a little more to 200. We don't do anything with the money that's sitting in the bank, you know. All we do is pay for the Braille writer twice a year. And we've got 2,000 and, you know, 6,700 in there, so it would seem like it could be some more if you want to. Remember that the problem is that people can, they win the Braille Challenge in their part of the country, wherever their agency is giving it. But if they want to compete in the national one out here, which is when they get, you know, big prizes and Braille books and everything like that, they have to get here. Once they get here, be a Braille Institute pays for their hotel accommodation, but they will not take on pay for their transportation. So what we would be doing is paying for transportation.
And you want to see if we some if we would like to pay more than the $200. Well, how what do you feel would be a good amount more?
Madam Chairman?
Yes. Who is this? Jill?
Jill.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't believe that at a board meeting, anybody who isn't a board member even makes motions, do they?
Yes, she is a board member.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. You know, the board members don't know each other very well.
Board members are supposed to sit up front.
Yeah.
Well, we ran out of room. Go ahead, Linda.
Yeah, I moved that we add an additional $300 to our contribution to someone attending the Braille Challenge, making it a total of $500. Any second?
I'll second it.
Would that be the board doing this, or would it be the board recommending to the membership to do it?
Yeah.
I think that would probably be the board to recommend you to the membership to do it.
Yes. I will second that motion.
So, do you want to repeat, Linda, you want to restate your motion?
Right. I move that the RSC contributed an additional $300 to someone who attends.
And this will be
a
board's recommendation to the membership.
I second that.
Okay. There's a second by Roger. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Carried. Okay.
I think Jill's point is well taken, that this is a board meeting.
Yes.
And that the motions and seconds and voting can only be by the board.
By the board. And she's a board member.
No.
Yeah, but it's only for the board. But we have to reiterate that.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Someone told me to call library users and ask them if that was agreeable with them, and I did. At that time, Leslie was the president, and she said she was sure that would be fine with library users. The office called me and told me that someone said that BRLC decided they did not want to be a member, they did not want to help sponsor that luncheon, Does anyone know what happened to all that or how we got into
this? No, I was told that the Clua decided to keep the lunch separate.
Oh, they're the ones that wanted to lose it.
That's what I heard, yeah. We have a different president of Clua now.
We have a different president of Clua, and he said it was been a tradition that Clua had, you know, did their lunch on their own, and he decided to keep it separate.
So, later with him. Jerry R. Collin.
Well, does anybody know about this from Clua? Anybody in here? Well, that's what he told me on the phone. So that's what I know.
Yeah, as you know, the convention people like it very well when we have higher attendance at these meals because it helps to keep the hotel requirements for roommates within some kind of reason if we have some of our meals there. So
sure.
we do the convention a favor when we try to keep up the lunch and well set.
Well, this is what I found. This is what I found out.
Of course, anyone's welcome to go.
You're welcome to go to the luncheon if you know if you've registered for it.
I personally choose not to.
I'm not going to. Well, I believe Ed told me, and so did Jerry on the phone. So that's what I know.
And it's listed in the program as Clua.
Yes, it is. So I know I heard right. So, yeah, that's what it is. Okay?
Well.
What? Yeah.
Because hadn't it been, my memory is not, I've seen it for many years, it had been combined though, right?
No.
Only the program.
That was just the program. But last year, they were kind of entertaining the idea that we might combine the luncheon.
I think we actually listed it at the last session.
Yeah.
As a joint.
As a joint. But they decided to go it alone. So
anyway, the way we got that way, many people, because the two meetings were at the same time, many people found it convenient to go on that lunch and get and like to talk about books. And, you know, so that's how it got started.
Yeah, well, they're going it alone. So okay.
Once that you have a program.
Yeah, I will. I do have a program tomorrow. I finally got someone after getting turned down a couple of times. And that's the hardest thing I think I had to do is to get a speaker for this. But tomorrow, Josie Conkling of Society for the Blind in Sacramento. What? Well, I did the best I could. She's going to talk about how the different ways she's teaching Braille to people in California. I called Kevin Duggan, and he's the one that recommended her. I called to ask to speak to him directly.
He's the executive director.
Yes, but he got me. He talked to Michelle, somebody named Michelle's, I can't remember her last name, and she put me in touch with Josie Conkling. That's all I could do. So,
runs.
I think so, yeah. Yes?
When you are finished, I have an idea for the training for the 12th
event. I want to run for the board before I go inside of the. Okay, just so I'll know for the next time, I need to know this. Is there a problem with what I did?
No.
Okay. Because heard some, you know.
I manufactured the program for the last one. You get to do it this time.
Okay. So I've got a program meeting for tomorrow at 10, and you know, it starts at 10:15. So. And that's that for that. Okay. You were mentioning that you had a suggestion for the next spring's convention.
Fall.
I'm sorry. I wrote it.
on the Nemeth uniform rail system that Abraham Nemeth is creating. It has not been completed, and it is in the hands of Banner. We don't know what Banner's going to do with it, but that's where it is. All of the translation programs have also been completed so that you can, you know, do what you could with Duxbury, place something on a scanner and run it through the translation app. You're going to do really nice rail. You still have to look ahead and see things that need to be put it over. That's too new, but at one time you're going to get it over. Anyway, I would be glad to do it again. There are quite a few people now who were here the last time. I could get a booklet for each person to have a copy to work on, and I can do the workshop that I would like to do. It. I find it absolutely fascinating, and then I've been doing it for a long time, so I have kind of done it to do what I do.
Okay, what is our everybody's feelings about that?
On Metaphysics?
Yes.
I think, especially now since it has been fine-tuned, it would be good. And I think when we did it before, wasn't it in the, it was here in the north, so it might be good to have it down south. I'm sure it'll be a few different people who maybe might not have had the chance to be here, so I would be all for it. I think it's a good idea.
Okay, anybody else?
Madam President?
Yes.
I think the idea of trying to have just one code, which meets literary, mathematical, science, all that. I saw a little bit, I think, once of how do we have to write a problem out? And the way they've got it done is impractical. You really, it's too hard. And we've had two different codes for years, and they're kind of systems that work. And I think Abraham Nemeth is to be commended for his hard work in this matter to make necessary changes so that it would be more applicable in the modern era, and yet it keeps the distinctives that have made it even code what it is. And I think that Banner really ought to take seriously his work, and I hope they revise the unified code to include that and insist on just one single thing, which is fine for literary braille, but it's not at all fine for the sciences and mathematics.
Yes.
The objection that typically exists is that the blind child of the school has to learn in the first few years of school literary braille, enough computer braille to master the computers that they're doing the kids in kindergarten now, mathematical braille, and that it's just too difficult. In that process, they learn three different dollar signs, for example.
Exactly.
And they're sitting two different kinds of parentheses, two different kinds of periods. So all of the braille teachers feel that it's absolutely necessary that we get some kind of single code that will not require any kind of fooling around. Now, there are, the gentleman who just spoke is correct, we certainly give up something in doing that. We have to do some fooling around. That you can't take a braille cell, and allow 63 different characters. You can't get at all the variety from that single braille cell that you get from print. You have to do things like some combining of cells or some combination of modes, or something that we would like to avoid doing. But the people who teach children, and these children are now not in special residential schools in the mind the way they were. They're in schools with sighted kids who are using all of these different kinds of things to come up in print, and they have no way to show the kids that kind of print unless they learn these three different codes. It's too difficult for them. The beauty of Abraham Nemeth's code is you can learn as much as you want to. A transcriber, for example, who wants to do literary braille doesn't need to go any farther. But if he comes upon something that needs to be written in mathematics, then you can look a little farther in the same book and see how to do it. It doesn't lose any of the conceptions that we now have. It doesn't give up any of them. Whereas the unified fail code gave up quite a few. So it has some virtues, but I don't deny that it, in the great world, it would be wonderful. We didn't have to do all this, but I think consideration for the needs that Braille is going to have for the future. We're never going to have children again who learn just literary Braille. They've got to learn all these other means of, you know, being a kid and having a school.
Madam President?
Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, with regard to a unified code, you know, Wynn brings up an obvious valid point that we really do need that so that children don't have to learn $3 signs. However, BANA, at least in my observation, has shown that they are more interested in what other countries will like, and being in league and in union with other countries seems to be a higher priority than simply coming up with a code that both English teachers and mathematicians can use. Because the code that UABC, I don't think anyone with a brain would agree that it's satisfactory for math and science.
No. You're correct about that. That is, and it's true, that Dr. Nimitz has not made that effort. The English-speaking countries that have adopted the Unified English Braille Code do not include the United States, Great or Great Britain. But some other countries have adopted it, and I guess they'll go ahead with whatever they want to do. Because the United States and Great Britain do most of the Braille that's around. That's unified English Braille Code that they're doing. It's not going to last very long. I don't know how they're going to settle all that, but it's true. Dr. Nimitz has not made any effort to get input from Europeans or other English-speaking countries to his code. And whether Ben is going to consider that defeated, I don't know, because nobody's buying unified English Braille Code either, so we're not getting to a solution to the problem.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I think it'd be interesting at some point along the way to get some sense of what's actually going on in the schools around the country, because I hear that children are being taught uncontracted Braille.
And some are.
And teachers and parents and so forth are deciding that's the best way to go. And I remember a time when we didn't even teach uncontracted Braille. We never let a kid see uncontracted Braille. We taught contracted Braille from
day one.
Beginning.
Yep.
And, but they say that with mainstreaming, they have to, the kids can't use the same reading programs that other kids use and so forth. And I think it's a very serious issue that needs to be looked into. But I'm not sure that we can solve it here.
No.
Given that it's 6:45.
Yeah, and I've got some other things to talk about. So, so let's see about Wynn's recommendation. How does people feel about that?
Let's do that.
Okay. Yes.
Madam President, if we are concerned, maybe we should invite the resource teachers over at Francis, what is that school?
Francis Glen.
And invite them to the workshop if they want to come. They bring a couple of students if they want. I don't know. Just to see if maybe get a dialogue to do the start to change.
Let's look the board.
Could we? Okay. But how does people feel about Wynn's recommendation?
Yes, I will. Right.
Okay. Then we can bring it up tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. We got the report on the walls. Okay. Just so I want to know, how is the Constitution coming along?
The writing
of the new Constitution.
The members who are going to work on it have copies of the Constitution, but we haven't gotten together.
Okay. Sorry? I asked about the Constitution revise, and he said that they haven't gotten around to do it, the people who agreed to do it.
Now, the people who agreed, people who agreed to work on the Constitution have been distributed copies of the Constitution and are looking it over individually, but we haven't met yet.
Okay.
We are determined to continue to try to get that together before the next meeting.
Okay. Braille Challenge. Anybody know about the Braille Challenge? Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good. Okay, elections. Who's running tomorrow? Is there elections for
them? There's no election.
Because it said
elections are in the even numbered year.
Okay, well, it said elections what do you call it?
Well, the nominating.
It said
a board of BRLC and elections or something. I thought it said it in the thing, but
yes, it did.
Good. I'm glad I didn't do. Was it wrong? It was in the program somehow. BRLC and elections. Like that's wrong. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now.
I'm looking at the Constitution.
Yeah, I believe you, but it said it in.
Some officers are elected in the spring of the even-numbered years, and some are elected in the fall of the even-numbered years.
Okay. Well, it said elections in the
yep.
program. Okay. I'd like to know, just for me, who is running tomorrow night for the elections for CCB?
Well, there's the secretary.
Second vice president and secretary are open, and there are 5 board members. The board positions occupied by Jerry Arakawa, Jane Cardis, Ann Kaiser, Peter Pardini, and Richard Retta. And Jane Cardis is serving her 4th term, so she's not eligible to run.
I thought that Peter's appointment was for a year.
It was last year, so he's up again. Because it was a vacancy.
Okay. Because it would help me, because I'm also the nominating committee representative, and so I'd like to try and get some recommendations on where I should put, you know, who I should put the 5 votes for. Because I don't know.
No, you don't have 5 votes in the. You only have 1 vote in the nominating committee.
Yeah. Oh, it's a straw?
Think what you should do is just come to the nominations committee and listen to the candidates and those who are also running, who want to run.
Yeah.
You know, and to see what you think.
It's really in the fall when the rubber meets the road. When we have the real election.
Okay, because it wasn't clear as to how I should vote or who I should vote for or what the recommendation is. Okay.
And, you know, this is just, I'm just throwing out a suggestion when I did it, and you certainly don't have to do it this way, but one of the things I did when I was representing BRLC, first I looked at it, if they were a member of BRLC, I would certainly consider them a little more. If weren't a member, if they were at least a Braille reader, I would at least look at them, you know, give them a second look. And then obviously I'm going to, you know, I think everybody has to vote for who they think will be the best candidate.
Mm-hmm.
But those are things I would personally look at. You certainly don't have to do it that way. But it's just
I appreciate it, you know, because it's kind of hard because, you know, when you vote for someone that you think and then someone says, why did you do that? And, you know.
I think by the group appointing you I don't know how it was determined that I assume that you're going to be the one to represent. I think they just assume you're going to make wise decisions.
Well, actually, I appointed myself.
Well, then you must have great confidence.
Okay, and one more item. Do we have a delegate for the national convention? For the Minnesota?
Yes, we do.
I think the question would be, and we should bring it up tomorrow perhaps, who is planning to go to the National Convention. I plan to be there, but I did it this past year, and I certainly would be willing to let someone else do it if anyone else is going.
Well, I'm going too, but I'm also doing something else, so, you know, I'd like to maybe, but we can talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah, everyone think about it overnight.
Okay. Is there anything else?
It's about time for us to go.
Okay.
I know, I've got to get that back to you, and I've kind of lost it.
Okay. Is there any other question or any other? Is there any other discussions about anything before we close? Okay. I think that's it. Thank you all for your support. Me stumbling around, but we got through it.
You did just fine.
Thank you.